Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with us today. And Bill, more free money coming our way. $900 billion of free money coming as another COVID relief bill. Not yet signed by the President of the United States, but man, we're getting a lot of free money.
Free money.
Free money coming our way.
It reminds me of when Romney ran against President Obama.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And people were going, I get a free phone.
Yeah.
In fact, listen to this.
It's all part of the package.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, no minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone.
How did he give you a phone? You sign up. If you're on full stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Okay, so she's got the spirit of it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. She's getting into the spirit. Yeah.
It's Obama money.
Yeah.
It's Obama phone.
Free phone, free everything.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's just getting in the spirit of it, isn't it? And so $900 billion of free money, and I think we're all going to get a direct check of $600. That's for each of us, right?
Well, now President Trump is saying he wants everybody to get $2,000.
Yeah, so I know. I realize that.
$4,000 per couple.
That's even better.
Yeah, even better.
So the breakdown at this point on the $900 billion of free money is, first of all, we get free money. So each and every one of us gets free money, I guess, if you make less than $75,000 per person or $150,000 per couple or whatever. So we all get the $600 of free money. So that's exciting. And then that's $166 billion. $120 billion of free money goes to people who lost their jobs. That's above and beyond their unemployment insurance. And then there's $325 billion for small businesses. You know, if you're like a McDonald's or you're like a car wash or what have you, you can pull out $284 billion in loans through the Paycheck Protection Program. I don't think you have to pay back those loans either. So that's free. It's all free.
All free money.
Lots of free money coming your way.
I love there's free money.
$20 billion for businesses and low-income communities and $15 billion for struggling movie theaters. So I was kind of hoping the movie theaters would get something. You know, you'd hate to see all the movie theaters go under. So they're getting $15 billion. And $45 billion of free money for airlines, for transportation, Amtrak, et cetera, highways. $13 billion of free money for food stamps and $13 billion of free money for farmers. So that's a lot of free money coming your way.
I want a free cell phone,
too.
Well,
maybe you can get one, huh?
Yeah,
get one of those Obama phones.
Obama money.
Get an Obama phone. Friends, well, you can imagine my disappointment when I opened up the news this morning and discovered I was only getting $600.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting $2,000 because I'm holding out for Trump.
But then I see the message from the president, and apparently Nancy Pelosi, Ocasio-Cortez, and that socialist guy.
Bernie Sanders.
They're all agreed on this.
Yeah.
That I need to get $200. And if I get $2,000 and my wife gets $2,000, that makes
$4,000.
I got to think about what I'm going to buy with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get a lot with that.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a lot of free money.
It's a little disconcerting that AOC and Pelosi and Bernie and Chuck Schumer all agree with the president. It makes me nervous.
Well, we've had a massive increase in socialism in just the last year, my friends, the biggest in the history of this country. So let's keep that in mind as well. Friends, we're looking at an increase from 20.7% of the GNI going to the federal government in 2019 to get this 31% in 2020. So that's what? That's about a 33% increase in socialist governments in America, the largest increase under any president, Republican or Democrat, since FDR.
FDR.
Yep. And FDR, that was back in your day.
My hero. My hero.
Back in your day, wasn't it?
Yeah. He and I went to different schools together.
Yep. So, friends, that was a lot of years ago. That was a lot of years ago. We have the largest increase in socialist government in America since FDR. Increased from the federal government increased from 20.7% to 31% of the GDP between 2019 and 2020. And the $900 billion stimulus package will kick loose in January if it is signed. And that puts the 2021 federal expenditures somewhere around $5.8 trillion or 27.4% of a steady state GDP from 2020. Now, here's the point. Previous to these increases, okay, so what would I say? The federal government is upwards of 28 to 31% of the GDP. Prior to that, federal spending per GDP has remained between 17% and 23% since 1965.
Wow.
So we're looking at a massive increase in federal spending. And let me close this segment with the allegory. Can I come back to the allegory? You know the allegory. The king and the people.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the king and the people one more time?
Let's do it.
Suppose there was a kingdom made up of 1,000 people and 1,000 $1 bills in the community, and you were the king of this domain. Okay? So, 1,000 people, 1,000 $1 bills, and you are the king of this domain. All right? You decide to print 2,000 more $1 bills, and this would make each dollar bill in the community worth
33 cents.
Thank you. Then of the 2,000 $1 bills you print, you sent all 1,000 people a $1 bill, which is worth
33 cents.
And you keep the other $1,000 for yourself, processing fee.
Yeah.
Handling fees.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes some work to distribute.
Yeah, you got to come up with the idea.
Yeah,
and it's, well, and
that too.
You know,
and then you've got to distribute it and take some work to do that.
Yeah.
Now, everybody used to have $1. Now they have $2. Oh, wait. But really, they have 66 cents.
Right.
And they're so happy. What a wonderful king, they say.
It's an Obama cell phone.
And they offer their thanksgivings to the king for giving them $1, which is only worth 33 cents. Yeah. Now, would you cash the check? I'm going to answer that question next on the Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, one of the minions on this edition of the program. The king has given me a dollar. Should I cash the check? That's the question I left you with at the break. Now, I need to be fair to Clayton. Clayton, our good buddy Clayton, has written into this program, and he did so about 6 months ago. And he responded to the question, should I cash the check? And I offer this for our listening audience's consideration. So here we go. Can I read his little input?
I want to hear this.
All right, here we go. Here's what Clayton says about the check. In response to your July 20th program in which you advise us to cash the check, I ask you, should I also apply for government welfare payments of every other form? I am certainly eligible to receive lots of stolen money. Or lots of the stolen money. You're minimizing our personal responsibility to obey God's commands. The stimulus money is a socialism test, and our report cards say socialist when we accept the money. The argument you use when you say that it's okay to accept it because everyone else is doing it, and you're blaming it on the king. If we really had a Christian population who hated covetousness, we wouldn't respond to the theft by saying, oh, well, maybe we can do something about this the next election. We would say together, we will not participate in theft with you, king. Let us be poor victims rather than lose our souls to keep up with the Joneses. Do you really think that conservatives are going to vote away the free money if they think it's just fine to accept it for their own benefit? That's not consistent. So that's Clayton's point. Now, we took the point. I took the point. I said, well, you know, hey, but the point I want to make first and foremost is this is not the most cut and dried issue of the day. I'm not sure it's always easy to find the line. Are we going to drive on the highways and fly the planes subsidized by more redistributed wealth? What did I say? $45 billion is going to the planes and to the highways. And, you know, we're driving these highways. It's not just our gas tax money paying for the highways. They're being subsidized in part by the $900 billion. So what do? Stay home, not drive? What do? Not fly on the planes and so forth. It's not always easy to find the line. So I think we need to say that from the outset. But you wanted to say something
about it. Well, I mean, what about Social Security?
Yeah,
you
know, right.
Do you pay into it your entire life? Mm-hmm. Do you not take that check? Because that's a form of
another question.
Well. Mm-hmm. It's a
you
form
got
of
it.
That. You know, we've just all agreed that money means something, unless it's backed by, you know, something that has true value, like gold or silver. In fact, I have backed money. I have backed gold backs.
Yeah, you do. In fact, you just showed it to me off air.
Yeah.
Are printed in Nevada or Utah?
Utah and soon in New Hampshire.
Okay.
They're called gold backs.
And they're made out of pure gold foil.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they have actual inherent value and worth. So, but you can't call them, you know, dollars. They're not dollars. They're gold backs.
So the king can't just print more of these on paper.
No, it's not paper money.
Okay.
It's not fiat. It is true, has true value inherent in it. If I were to take one of these and burn it, what I would have as residue would be that amount of gold that's printed on it. For the one gold back, it's 1/200th of a troy ounce. Mm-hmm. For a 50 gold back, it is 1/20th of a troy ounce of gold.
There are so many questions related to this. There are guys who've filed their tax returns, and they have a major mortgage write-off on their, I think, attachment A or attachment B, and they'll have some major charitable write-offs, whereas people who are debt-free on their homes do not have access to those write-offs. And so, you know, here's the problem is that we live in a system that is inherently lacking inequality, and there is a massive redistribution for free-for-all going on in our systems. It's all hardwired into the systems.
It's unbiblical.
Oh, it's all unbiblical.
Yeah.
But I want my
cell phone.
The Bible actually says when it comes to government and taxation, the poor shall not pay less and the rich shall not pay more, which means, you know, Marx is completely out of the running on this one. So this isn't cut and dried. Given the massive redistributing free-for-all that's going on with tax write-offs, with these refunds or freebies that come to anybody making less than $150,000, I mean, it's just a disaster. The idea that there is an equal treatment under the law and equal taxation on the part of the civil magistrate is a fiction in the modern world. But here's a major principle, Bill, that I think we need to reiterate, and that is it's related to food offered to idols. If you buy the food in the shambles, the food that was offered to idols in the marketplace, are you supporting the idol industry? And perhaps you're getting a good deal on it. Maybe you're getting a good deal on food offered to idols. But the question is, by your purchasing, by your cooperation, by your participation in the purchase of food offered to idols in the marketplace, does that mean that you're supporting the idol industry? By receiving a certain tax write-off or by receiving a $600 check, do you really support the socialism industry? Some would argue that you can never buy food offered to idols. out in the marketplace. By doing it, you are supporting the industry of food offered to idols, right? Because you give somebody, say, $20 for food offered to idols in the shambles, what are they going to do with that $20? They're going to go back and buy more food and offer it to idols. See, that's the problem here. So 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to a dinner, though, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question of conscience sake. But if someone says, this was offered to idols, do not eat for the sake of, not yourself, but for the one who told you. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Now, I'm not saying that's the only principle, but that's a major principle when it comes to these debased institutions, these broken down institutions, these economic institutions, these government institutions that are fraught with idolatry and fraud. This is a principle that applies. And praise be to God, the Apostle Paul gives it to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
So I'm curious, what would Clayton's advice be to Chinese Christians?
I don't know. Maybe he could write in and
that'd be interesting.
His assessment of that. I do think we need a full court press as much as we possibly can as Christians to oppose this, to see that there is a reversal on this. Now, the root problem is very much the debasing of the money supply. And so I'd like to just give a little bit of a background on this. You'll find it in my new book, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West. I have a chapter on the rise and fall of the Western economy, which means we are going through the fall of the entire Western world, and to some extent, the fall of the entire world in an economic sense, in a social sense, in just about every other sense. And my book, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, has an entire chapter on economy. The ancient Romans and most of the pagan world would habitually debauch the silver with tin. Chinese banks began fractional reserve banking somewhere around AD 1000. By the time of Trajan, that is the Roman Caesar Trajan, AD 117, the Augustus denarius of 95% silver had dropped off to 85%. So what is that, about 100 years? About 100. So it took 100 years for the value of the silver coin, the denarius, to drop from 95% to 85%. Now, how long has it taken for the dollar to drop from $1 to what are we now, about 4 cents since 1913? So in 100 years, we've dropped off, what, 97%? Well, they didn't drop off very much at all over 100 years. It took a very long time because it was a slow and steady process. By AD 268, the coin was out of use, only 0.5% silver left. So it took about 260 years, guys, 260 years to debase the money supply and eventually destroy the Roman economy. Now, the first serious debasement of money, now after a Christian situation came into play, Bill, there was no debasement to speak of for about 1600 years or 1400 years. So for a period of 1,000 years plus, the Christian influence on the Western economy was significant. You'll read about this in Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West. But do you know when the first serious debasement of money occurred? During the French Revolution. Now, the French Revolution brought in socialism, brought in Marxism, brought in homosexuality, brought in almost every evil that the demon world could think of, including the debasement of the money supply. So it was attempted briefly under the French Revolution. Worthless paper notes appeared, reputedly backed by lands confiscated from the church. It just about killed the French economy, only salvaged by a dictatorship under Napoleon. Now, the modern concept of a national bank, government monopoly, printed money, fractional reserves comes from, guess who? A murderer from Scotland, a guy by the name of John Law. He was a murderer. He fled to France after killing a man where he tested out his economic theories. Louis XIV had driven his economy into the ground and was desperate for a quick fix. Well, this guy, this economist, this murderer, John Law, printed up paper money, only partially backed by silver. When the public attempted to change their paper notes back into gold coin, the government banned the sale of gold. Scores of people were killed in riots that ensued. John Law spent the remaining years of his life gambling away the last of his own earnings and died an indigent. Yet his economist biographer reminds us, John Law behaved very much like a man of 20th century who knew that the banking system did not need to be anchored in gold or silver. His theoretical economic writings captured many key conceptual points, which are very much a part of the modern world. The most influential leaders in debasing the money are, guess who? John Law, a murderer and a cheat, and John Maynard Keynes, one of the most horrible debauched homosexuals who made a game out of abusing little boys. John Maynard Keynes, one of the most horrific men who has lived in the 20th century, was by far the most influential economist of the 20th century. So, Bill, let me ask you this. We're sitting here wondering, why is this system formed by a murderer and a homosexual not working out so well for us? Got any thoughts on that one?
Maybe because they flouted the law. They thumbed their nose at the creator.
Well, you can get the whole story at with my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. And you can order that book soon. Don't have the ordering up yet, but we're very close, friends, with our 720-page chronicling of the most spectacular story in history, at least the last 2,000 years, by far. And that was the rise of the Christian influence in the Western world, and then the most spectacular fall of the entire Western world. Read the story, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, coming soon. Well, Bill, as we wrap up the program, what do we say? Don't support the socialist frenzy. This grab all the money you can get game. You got to draw the line somewhere. And I think Clayton's got a point. You got to draw the line somewhere.
But do I have to draw the line at my free phone? Hey, let me call you back on that.
The other principle we brought in on similar programs like this, friends, is, yeah, stop the stealing. We need to stop the stealing. Yes. Get out of debt. And instead of stealing, work with your hands so you can have something to give to him who has nothing. Now, what some have done is they've used the money to support certain charities and such. But the more important thing to focus on is to get behind giving, especially this Christmas season. I think we need to be thinking about getting behind giving, because the principle, the problem is that we have an entire system in which the money has been debauched. The character of the nation is totally debauched. It's debauched beyond all recognition. But what do Christians do? Well, the Apostle Paul gives this message in Ephesians 4, and I think we need to come back to it as Christians. Yes, we need to owe no man anything. We need to get out of debt. But what's the principle? The principle is stop stealing, work with your hands, so you can give to him who has nothing.
And the biblical economic is seek first the kingdom of God. That's the biblical economic. It is not capitalism for self gain. It is seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things are added to you. And it's not that you're going to be, it's not the prosperity gospel. It is that you seek God's kingdom first, and you're charitable with what you have to further that kingdom.
Well, my friends, as we wrap up this edition of the program, let me encourage you to support the Generations broadcast. We're seeing a massive increase in interest in family discipleship, but we're very thankful for what God has done for us in 2020. And here are some of the reasons why we're thankful. Yes, we went through the pandemic, the economic downturns, the national shutdowns, and so forth. But despite these challenges, God has done some amazing things this year. Homeschooling numbers have doubled in 2020. We had the largest increase in the Generations Ministry outreach in our history. During 2020, tens of thousands of families reached out to us for the first time for our encouragement and our resources and such. We are thankful for the summits and seminars we were able to conduct for parents and pastors and leaders in some 30 to 40 countries around the world. It was the largest international outreach we've ever had. That happened in 2020. And I was reminded this year that despite all these trials and the difficulties, the spiritual attacks we faced, we are always more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yes, we are at points taking his lamb to the slaughter, but in the end, Jesus always enables us to be more than conquerors through him and by his death and resurrection. Also, during these difficult times, we find that God is growing our faith. And I think that happened for us and for many people, for many churches. I think there was something of a solidification of faith in 2020. The shutdowns afforded our team the time and focus to finish four grades of our biblical worldview-based Christ-saturated curriculum as well. We've mentioned that a few times. We've been covered by faithful prayer support from so many of you. We're thankful for that. As our ministry has touched the lives of 100,000 families, we are thankful for the 1 in 500 families that make it happen by their sacrificial contribution. So just want to thank you for that. God has brought together some of the most steadfast, faithful, biblically grounded contributors for our media and our resources. We're thankful for Bill Jack, Adam McManus, Steve Vaughn, and so many others that contribute to our media and all of our writers that contribute for our curriculum program. I'm so thankful. I think we have the very best. Our curriculum is written by exclusively homeschool graduates, Bill. I don't know if you knew that, but you know, some of us are older homeschool graduates, 57 years old over here, but some of them a little bit younger. We have some in their 30s, some in their 20s who've been helping with our biblical family discipleship-oriented homeschooling curriculum. We're also looking at another major increase of ministry work next year, and we're thankful for that as well. But most of all, my friends, at this time of year, we are thankful for God's unspeakable gift. That's his son who was born in a manger and sacrificed on that cross for us. Here in his love that God gave us his son. There's nothing greater, nothing more spectacular, nothing more sacrificial, nothing more loving, nothing more wonderful and efficacious and helpful and encouraging and strengthening and restoring and redeeming than what he has done for us. And that is the gift of his son on the cross. Well, my friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. We just want to say we're thankful. We're thankful for you. We're thankful for how God has blessed our ministry. And we encourage you to provide donations for our ministry if God leads you so to do. And you can do that at our website, generations.org/give. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.